This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
Welcome to this edition of Roots and Shoots. All muntings are welcome.
Yep.
Get in early.
And any suggestions of whatever opera song you would like us to play? Ooh. Even though we're not allowed to. But, you know, if there's demand there, then our role here is to actually honour our marvellous listeners.
Yeah.
Of which there will be many opera.
Yeah.
Opera lovers
Are you your lovely people or are you your flower duet types or are you
that's bit luck, of Wagner?
Mate. Bit
heavy
much.
First thing in the morning, really, isn't it? Mm. We might say Wagner for the evening when there's a thunderstorm.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And it's dark.
And then we can have another talk about nitrogen.
Did you
hear me talking to the Weather Bureau lady?
No, I missed that.
Every time someone says gusty thunderstorms, I think thusty gunderstorms. And I call my undergunders.
Ah, your thunder garments.
My thunder my apple catchers. And I just envisage a cloud of great big thundergunders floating through the sky.
Well, don't you throw out those old thundergunders because they make excellent parachutes for things like pumpkins and watermelons. That where you've got to have them where they're really well pre-used, so all the stretch is gone in them. So when you tie them up,
I need to put this car into reverse and start backing the truck up immediately, Sabrina Hahn.
Was it you that had a mother-in-law made you use her thunder?
She didn't make me. She handed them to me, and I think she was pretty cluey. I think she knew exactly what she was doing.
For a cleaning cloth.
Do you know what, though? Like, I think you get to a certain age, you just go, worst things happen at sea. I mean, I would never do that to any partner of my children.
No. Nor even your own children. Especially not your own children.
That's the stuff of nightmares. 1-300-222-720 is the number to call if you've got a question for SAP. 0437-922-720 is the number to text if you've got a question.
Ring-a-ling in.
Roger.
Ring-a-ling.
Roggy Roggs is in Bindoon. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Roger.
Hello, how are you going?
Well, fabulous. We're about to burst into song at any minute. Now, me and Amber, I reckon she'd be a mezzo-soprano.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should give up gardening and take up opera singing, Sabrina.
I don't worry. I do in the garden. I sing along because I usually garden to opera and I just hook in and add the soprano part.
You've got a very lucky name. Very lucky name.
I don't think they think so.
Sabrina, I've got a little issue with my. I've got two really nice wisterias.
Yeah.
One is 7 years old and going gangbusters, beautiful, and we're just starting to lose the blossom now.
Yep.
But the other one is about 4 years old, well established, gone along nicely, just losing its blossom now. And yesterday, I noticed that it's starting to get a yellow tinge. It looks like it needs a boost.
Yes. Now, it sounds to me like more of a micronutrient deficiency, Roger. So it could be an iron and magnesium deficiency. So if you get yourself some trace elements and put that, you need to place it all the way along the root run of the passion fruit and water it in well. Or you can get a foliar one that just is iron and magnesium.
This isn't passion fruit. This is a wisteria.
Oh, sorry, I meant wisteria. I actually meant wisteria.
You're not getting your passion fruits mixed up.
No. I was thinking about the passion in opera, but I actually did mean wisteria.
Lovely plant.
Yeah, because they grow really rapidly at this time of the year, Roger, so you really just need to boost them after flowering. You'll find that they'll use up all the nutrients that are available, so sometimes you just have to give them that little bit extra.
Yes, it's quite, you know, I mean, it's pretty good dirt up here. And
I know, you've got beautiful soil, but it can be just pockets of soil too that it's like having a choir without the first soprano. It's a bit like that. You've got to add a little bit of the first soprano to go with all the other voices, and then it'll just hum along your fence line and perform beautifully.
Yeah, okay, so some trace elements as
yep.
you go, eh?
Yep, absolutely.
Right, yeah, I'll get those down probably at the local hardware on maybe.
Yep, absolutely you will.
Make your annual migration to the local hardware, Roger, and enjoy it.
All right. Thank you very much for the advice.
Okay. Thanks, Roger.
Thank you, sir. Judy is in Morley. Hi, Judy. What's your question for Sab?
Hi. Morning, ladies. I sent a photo of two leaves from my grapevine.
Yep.
One is showing sort of yellowing.
Yep.
And,
that's a manganese deficiency. Sort of yep.
Manganese. Excellent. Yep. Thank you very much. And the other one has little brown spots on it.
Yeah, now I would be a bit worried about those brown spots that they are going to turn into the grape leaf blister mite.
Okay.
So you need to get wettable sulphur or lime sulphur. I have.
Okay, so mid-August I did the lime sulphur and then a month later and every 2 weeks since I've been doing the wettable sulphur. So I just keep on doing that?
Yeah, I would because I reckon that the mite on grapes is going to be pretty bad this year.
I've had problems with it in the past and I've been really diligent about keeping the I've been pruning off lots of the shoots.
Yeah.
It's quite vigorous. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks
Judy. Billy is in Narrogin. Good morning to you, sir.
Ahoy, fair maidens.
Ahoy! Arr, Billy. La, la, la. Yeah. Right, well, let's get on with it then.
Yes, under. my figs, the bunching we talked about the other day,
yes.
Do I take them off in an order, like the first one, or do I take the last one?
It depends if you're OCD or not. If you're like me, you just pick it off anywhere. It's not really going to make that much difference, Billy.
Oh, fantastic.
So you can just pluck wherever you feel like it.
Oh, very good. It's been a bit coolish, hasn't it? The weather changed.
No.
I was prepared for a loincloth run this
I know. And look, your loincloth would get wet and then you never know who you're going to frighten in the neighbourhood. We are in for, I reckon, a hell spring with fungal diseases this year.
No.
Because it's just wet and wet.
Yeah.
But we need the rain, Billy. We need the rain.
We do need
but we also need days of sunshine in between so we can actually get out in our loincloth or your thunder undies and do some gardening.
Your undergunders. Billy, hope that helps with your figs. Kieran is in Scarborough with the open garden.
Oh, Kieran!
Hi, Kieran.
Hello, ladies. How are we?
Oh, we're exceptionally well. We're playing opera in our little garden here in the studio.
Pretty unladylike.
Yep, we're very unladylike.
We're
in
bog
fact,
witches.
Yeah, we are definitely bog witches. But, you know, when you're in a bog, Kieran, as you know.
And you need a spell. Call us.
Call on the witches.
Well, I'm probably not so much a singer, more of a whistler.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's all right. You know, there used to be a lot of songs with whistling in it, and you don't get that so much anymore.
No. I caught the end of Life of Brian the other night on TV with a nice little whistling bit of it.
So you drew on your skills. Now, I believe that there's a cracker open garden this weekend.
There certainly is, Sabrina, and it's Sousa's Garden up in Glen Forest. And I'll give you the address there, which is 42 Hardy Road in Glen Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So Sousa is a horticulturist. She teaches horticulture. She runs lots of little workshops herself as a business. Her garden is a cracker. It is. It's not a large block. It's mm-hmm. a suburban block in Glen Forest, but every little bit of dirt is covered with a plant, just about. Has a nice native garden out the front, and when you walk out the back, we have fruit trees, we have veggie garden, we have chooks, we have ornamental plants, we have a perennial type garden, trees and a lawn, and all packed in to a nice little suburban block garden. And it's a good inspiration for people to pop around and actually see what you can achieve in your own backyard.
With a smaller garden. You don't need a couple of hectares. So, Kieran, is it open today and tomorrow?
It's open today and tomorrow, so from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Sue's doing a little workshop at about 11 o'clock on both days. It's $8 to get in, $6 if you remember.
Yep.
Worth the trip up Great Eastern Highway. Just get off at Glen Forest there at Hardy Road.
Yep.
And pop down and have a look.
Beautiful. Sounds like a great thing to do. And another, thank you, Kieran, another great thing to do is Saturday, Brecky's going to be at the Guildford Open Gardens Festival next Saturday, which is I'll be in Stirling Square Garden in Guildford between 6 in the morning to 10. And I'll have Sophie Thompson standing in for you.
Yes, because I'll be swanning about at the Reynolds Reserve up at Wongan Hills, which has some of the most exceptional West Australian rare flora. And I'll be thinking of you.
Oh, thanks, babe.
It's my
fellow
pleasure.
Bog witch. Sally is intrigued. Sally, what's your question for Sab?
Hi, Amber and Sabrina. I've got a large pot of mother-in-law's tongues in the southeast corner of my courtyard.
Yeah.
And I want something fruity in there instead.
Oh, fruity.
Yes.
As in that delivers you fruit or?
Yes.
Or is just saucy?
Yeah. I don't mind fruity or saucy is fine by me, but just not mother-in-law's tongues.
No. That, which is neither. In fact, even a bog witch wouldn't have mother-in-law's tongue in their bog. So, you know what? The little strawberry guava is so pretty and the fruit is delicious. So you get those beautiful little flowers and then you get the bright red strawberry-coloured fruit. They do really – so they're not only fruity, they're also a little bit saucy. I reckon –
now, would they be okay on the – coast, although it's sort
Tough as. Okay. Tough as.
Okay. And will they go in, it's sort of like a, because it's on a path.
Yep.
So it can't have like a 3 metre.
No. They're only small. It'll get to a metre by a metre.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. I'd put in strawberry guava.
I'll take one. Lovely.
Beautiful. Okay. Thanks, Sally.
Thanks for that, bye. Sally. Noni says, Sabrina, my Merkit mandarin is smothered in new fruit. How big should I let them get before I selectively thin?
Okay, so mandarins will usually drop a fair bit themselves, but I would thin them out once they reach, the big marble size. Not the little tombolas. Yeah, tombolas. When they get to tombola size, that's when you pick them off.
Do you know what? I just got so excited that I remembered an obscure word.
I know. That happens to me sometimes. A thing pops in and I go, oh, that's the word I was looking for 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but that's just arrived. I just had it on command there, so I'm
impressed.
I'm high on my own gas right now.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you. Question for Sabrina. When I plant beans, I plant two per hole. So if two come up, do I leave them both or cut one out, says Greg?
I'd let them go until both of them are 30 centimetres high and then rip out the weakest.
Good answer is a short answer. Short answer is a good answer. Scott in Vic Park says, apropos of opera, were we to play a song, says anything by Beethoven. He was angry. Another request for, a request for the Pearlfishers duet.
Yes, Vince magnificent.
Says he's been trying to get some of the Woman of Spirit Grevillea that Kings Park made to celebrate the CWA. Is it still available? Has tried at all the usual great local nurseries.
The Women of Spirit. Oh, that came out quite a while ago. I'd say it's probably all sold out. But they're still okay, so the season for propagation has been really late. It's been cold. It's been overcast. All the stuff in the nurseries is taking like 6 weeks longer to come out in the nurseries because it's been a really cold and wet winter. So I know that they are definitely in production by one of the big wholesalers here. So what you can do is go to your nursery and order it. So as soon as they come out from the big wholesalers, you will get the first ones that come out.
There you go.
Whereas you can't do that if you just pop in to buy some nails and a drill. It's a different kind of service.
It's proper service. Jeff is in Mount Barker with a wisteria. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Morning, Jeff. What can we do for you down in beautiful Mount Barker?
I've got a wisteria that's in full bloom.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what time you prune it.
Okay, so the best time to prune wisteria is when it finishes flowering, but I reckon they're not going to finish flowering until probably November, December down there.
Yep.
So I would leave it until the end of February, Jeff, and then hook in pretty hard.
Rightio.
So summer, big end of summer prune for wisterias down there.
Okay, yep.
Get out there, secateurs. Try not to do too hard because your wife might divorce you.
That's exactly right because we have
okay.
a club.
I haven't got a wife.
Oh, okay.
The wisteria I'm talking about is at the motel.
And I know
an absolute picture.
Yeah,
and
it's a
last
cracker.
Year when I gave it the first pruning, we were pulling out runners that were about 20 metres long.
Wow.
Should have sold
them. I don't think it had ever been pruned.
Oh, wow. Oh. Okay, well, those suckers you could flog off, put them on your bar, $10 a sucker. And all your leftover beer, I'd be putting that all the way along the route run.
Oh, how lovely.
Mm.
Jeff, good luck with that. The happy pruner in Mount Barker, Joanne, speaking of Wongan Hills, is in the Wongan Hills, the Hill of Wongan.
Yes. Hello, Joanne.
Morning, ladies. How are you?
Good. Are you excited about the 30th anniversary of the...
Yes, it's going to be great.
I know.
It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, and lots of people come into town, which is great.
Absolutely. And I'll probably leave Wongan Hills with an absolute car full of stuff.
No doubt.
So what can we do for you this morning?
Right, I've got roughly 10-year-old Tipuanas.
Yes.
Where the leaves are turning yellow and falling off.
Yep, they do that twice a year, really just to annoy people. They are a really messy tree and I don't know why they do that, but they do it twice a year. I wouldn't be too concerned because what happens is they withdraw the nutrients from the leaves, which is why they go yellow, and then they fall off and then you get all new leaves. So they usually look pretty scrappy at this time of the year.
Okay, so nothing to worry about.
No.
My other quick question was I've got an 8-year-old asparagus crown.
Mm-hmm.
They all come out beautiful previously, like nice and thick, and this year they're coming out really skinny.
Okay,
so
then.
What have I failed to feed them?
You failed to feed them well enough, and they're unlike me, they're wasting away to nothing. So the big time to feed isn't, you know, when after the spears are finished, when they're in full fern. So you feed them up in full fern. You really pour it on, and then you allow them go into full dormancy in June, July. But all the feeding has to be done in the summertime.
Okay, so I really can't do anything now.
Bit late now.
Skinny asparagus.
Yeah, skinny asparagus. Yeah,
still delicious.
Awesome. Yep.
Yes.
You just need twice as many.
Yeah. Thanks, Joanne. Yep. Good luck
with that.
A vote for mio caro bambino Jenny in Inglewood. That's a lovely one. Morning, gardeners. Great that you'll play an aria. So I propose Libiamo from Verdi, by the tenors or by Pavarotti. It's about the joy being taken from drinking.
Yep.
Says
I know it well.
No particular opera preference, says this correspondent, but a massive vote for all random music on ABC.
Yay! Listen to that, Sydney.
Good morning. Can you please play the Olympic theme song from the bath? Olympics starring Queen and some incredible opera singer. It's beautiful, and they turned it up very loud. Thanks, Amanda, in beautiful basso. Lakme's flower duet gets a vote. Yes. That's a ripper. Morning, I don't have a gardening question, but the flower duet might be appropriate. Have a lovely day. Could we please have the flower duet?
I know. I think in the top 10, it's definitely, you know, has to come in one or two.
It is definitely up there. Alistair from North Perth with a question for tomorrow's Roots and Shoots program.
Are you coming in tomorrow, Amber? I didn't know.
No.
Well, you'll be doing it on your own, but you're pretty good now.
I think Alistair sent it through last night. It's a grevillea situation.
Oh, very yellow. Yeah.
Very yellow. It says, I've planted a lot of grevillea gem plants. Most of them have grown extremely well. Several planted in the same area seem to have been stripped of leaves. I cannot see any insects on or in the vicinity, but have sprayed with neem oil recently in case the leaves also start yellowing and then fall off. Thank you.
Okay, so, yep, they've been completely chewed down to nothing. So that will definitely be caterpillars, even though you can't see them. They're the little wiry ones with those little claspers around their derriere, special clasping.
The anal clasping tool.
Yes, the anal clasping caterpillar.
What the loop?
Yeah, so they have legs at the forefront and then on their down near the anus, and so that's why they loop up and down because they clasp.
They clench.
They clench their cheeks like you would not believe and munch away at the same time. What a gift. Kind of gymnastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
people are always telling you your glutes need to be stronger for just overall core strength.
Yeah, well, we should look at what caterpillars do.
Look at the loop.
But anyway, the reason it's gone yellow, it doesn't like the pH of the soil. It's too high. You need to drop the pH. You can put in powdered sulfur or pelletized sulfur. Caterpillars you can spray with a bacteria-based spray and you'll be right.
There we go. Alan is in West Perth. Good morning to you, Alan.
Oh, Amber and Sabrina, I'm desperately sad. I rang about 4 weeks ago on the grass tree, Sabrina.
Is that the really, 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 really old one?
Well, it is. So I just need to understand, you use the word dormancy, so I hope that applies to my grass tree, that it'll sprout again. So I planted it about 6 months ago, did the great hole, put it in the direction as per what the guy said.
Yep.
It came
instruction.
Off his property.
Yep.
And I watered it. Mm-hmm. But all
loved
the foliage
it.
Is just, all foliage is coming out. So it was the highlight of the street.
Mm.
And now it's sad. So will it regrow like some other plants?
Usually not.
Is it dormant or what?
It doesn't actually go into a dormancy.
Right.
If you can pull the central stalks, the central leaves, fronds out of the right out the middle of the grass tree, that is a really bad sign. So sometimes they rot, Alex. Alan, rather. So they just put my glasses on and went, I can see it's actually Alan.
That's fine, Sue. That's fine, Sue.
That's actually my middle name.
Oh, really? I knew that, but you didn't know I knew it.
Savvy Sue.
Savvy Sue. So what can happen is the central part can rot. And then it goes all the way down through the middle of the grass tree, and there's not much you can do. The only thing you can do is go and get some mycelium or some soil fungi that's got mycelium in it. Sprinkle that around the base. Do not water it. You can prune the under fronds, but if you can pull those central fronds out, it is a really bad sign.
I can, Sabrina.
Well, don't pull it out. Leave it in there for a few years because I have seen them where they come back after 3 years. So I would just leave it in there. Try and prevent water from getting into that top area. Put an umbrella over it.
Really?
Yeah, okay. No, I'm serious. Okay. Yeah, put an umbrella over it so the water doesn't penetrate any deeper. Oh, look, I use umbrellas in my garden all the time. My hydrangeas in the summertime, my clematis.
Is that how you pronounce that?
People say clematis or clematis. It's like clivia or clivia.
Which one? Where do you land on that?
Well, apparently it was named after Lord Cliveden's wife. But if Lord Cliveden lived in Australia, he would have been called Lord Clive, not Clived. And his missus, they wouldn't have lived in Cliveden. They would have lived in Cliveden. I don't think it really matters.
Around subject, girls.
Yes.
So if I have an umbrella at the top, they're going to start talking about who's this kooky gardener at the top of the street? He's now got an umbrella over his
tree. They'll say, I bet you he's been talking to Sabrina Hahn on Roots and Shoots. Yeah.
Sabrina said. We need to get you in as studio producer so you can get us back on track as you did just then. Alan, thanks for that. Hope she was helpful. I was of no assistance. Hopefully you'll stick around for this musical interlude, which is the flower duet from Lakme by Denis. Enough of that. It goes into a bit of a crazy bit, but we've had the mesmerizing swoony part, which is what you need here on Saturday breakfast Roots and Shoots segment for Saturday. Gardeners. Ooh,
turn me on, baby. Turn me on.
John in Wood and Elling has always got some interesting news for us. Is your wife still there? You haven't sent her off?
No, she's not. I don't think she's aware of me ringing.
Have you snuck outside, John?
I have. I'm sitting out the front and, I'm waiting to go back in and make a coffee. But butt-cheeking.
The anal clencher caterpillar.
Clenching. Yeah, well, I had a hip replacement some months ago and one of the things on the exercise thing was do some,
clenching.
They said it like that, butter clenching. and I asked various people to demonstrate. I didn't know whether there was a particular technique for this thing, you know.
I think it depends whether you're standing or sitting, John. Because I think, your muscles are in sort of a different place when you're sitting to standing. Perhaps did you do both?
Lying down. Mm-hmm. Sorry?
Did you do standing and sitting clenching or were you just a stander clencher?
No, it was the image said showed lying down doing butt clenching.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, I never would have thought of doing it lying down.
John, do you have a gardening question for Sabrina?
Yes, I do. A fungus in the lawn.
Yes, John.
Sounds like thrush, doesn't it? But
it does, yeah, but very different.
What do we do about that? It's a kike lawn.
Yes. Now, when you say fungus, John, is it like a slimy thing grows over the top? Is it a brown lumpy thing, or is it just where your grass dies?
It's where the grass dies, and it's sort of in circles.
You got fairy rings.
Yeah. Oh,
you've got the fairies coming in, John. So that is a fungus, the fairy ring fungus. Now, there is lots of lawn fungicides that you can get, but what I would do first is go and get your kitchen fork and stab the circles. Now, first of all, please tell the fairies you're doing this so they get out of the way. There's nothing worse than pulling up a gardening fork and you've got 16 shish kebabbed fairies on the end of your garden fork. So you need to aerate it, all right? And then you're going to get some compost to sprinkle over the top, or like a lawn reviver. And then you're going to spray your lawn with a Mancozeb-based spray.
Yeah, Mancozeb.
There are other, I can't give you product names, but there are other lawn-based fungicides for fairy ring.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Oh, that's very good. Just a quick one. We've got a bank... like at the house we extended, and it's cut, we cut down to extend the house into because of the slope. Now, I want to get some natives in there.
Yeah.
And they struggle a bit. Is it okay to put trickle along there for the summer?
Absolutely. No problem at all, John. Yep.
Yep. I was just wondering if it makes them shallow rooted and
no.
And,
you just got to, with all the trickle irrigation, the most important thing is to make sure that water's coming out of the trickle. So you want to, they get blocked up quite easily. So you need a flush valve at the end. You're going to flush the line out, and then when you turn it on, just ensure that you've got enough water coming out of each trickle and it's not blocked up. But apart from that, it'll work well.
Good luck with that, John. Now, you've got, John and Diana, such lovely people from Another Diana. Also, you've got a fan in a Japanese Spitz from Carol in Balga.
Oh.
Says, my newly rescued 12-month-old Japanese Spitz Jiro, listening to Sab and opera singer, particularly the high notes cracking me up, thinks Sabrina is most interesting. The dog has a look on its face that's like Scooby-Doo saying, I've entertained myself enough this morning. Mark is in Warnborough with an epithelium.
Epithelium? Hello, Mark.
Hi, how's it going? Yeah, I've got a queen of the night, epithelium.
Ooh, aren't you a lucky one?
Yeah, she used to throw about 30 flowers every time. So
she's
good.
A goer. Yep.
Yeah, it was a goer. It seems to be browning off a lot. A lot of the larger leaves are browning off. I lost my stephanotis out the front as well, so I don't know.
Really?
What's going on there.
Wow.
Yeah, which was, they both were about 20 years old, I think. So
both of those plants are tropical. Now, the epithelium, they don't like being really bogged down with water, and they don't like it wet and cold all at the same time. So the epithelium, is that in the ground or in a pot or a hanging basket or?
It's in a tiny porcelain pot, and then it's rooted into the ground through the concrete.
Yep.
Oh, and it goes up my wall, up to the roof, and then out along the roof a bit.
Okay, now, as a safeguard, I would be taking pieces off your epithelium and potting them up just in case it rots. There's really not much that you can spray on it, on the epithelium, because it's got
all the brown bits off.
Yeah, definitely cut all the brown bits off, yeah.
Yep.
And you've stephanotis. I mean, they're usually pretty tough, but...
Yeah,
again,
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
But, I've got a million seeds from it, so that's all
right. Okay. I know. They have those beautiful little parachute seeds.
Yeah, people ask me if I'm growing a mango all the time.
Yeah, I know. People mistake them for avocados or mangoes.
But so
yeah, get rid of all the brown stuff on the epithelium and definitely safeguard it with taking some cuttings.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Sue is in the park of Mosman. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Hello,
I've got
Sue.
A question regarding my really healthy 15-year-old quince tree.
Yeah.
That I plant underneath, and I must have disturbed the roots, and I've got a sucker.
Ah, yes. Right.
And well, I know if I put glyphosate on, I'll probably kill the tree.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Now, unfortunately for you, once quince starts suckering, they continue to sucker. There's two things you can do. You can actually put really – so cut the sucker off and go down into the ground with a knife so you cut it off. Or what I like to say is get your reciprocating saw out because you can really go down deep with that. So you can put thick, thick, thick cardboard around the base of the quince tree to try and slow down that suckering habit. But do not put glyphosate on the suckers on a quince tree.
There you go.
Okay. Mm. So the cardboard won't stop water going into the plant, or you?
No, because you make sure the cardboard's wet before you put it down, and the water will still drip through the cardboard.
Okay.
The thing that works best is conveyor belt, but a little bit tricky to get from your local nursery.
What's conveyor belt? What are you talking about?
It's what
about?
They use in the mines. Yeah, those big, thick rubber conveyor belts because the suckers won't go through that.
Oh, gotcha. Mm. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck with it,
Thanks,
Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Get rid of that sucker. Oh, Trish is in Busselton with these photographs here.
Oh, we have some roses.
Good morning, Trish.
Hi. Beautiful, beautiful yellow rose. And iceberg, standard icebergs. And you've got black spot on them already?
Only every season, on the gold bunny.
Okay.
And the five metres away, the icebergs never get a spot.
Yeah, icebergs are much more disease resistant.
Okay.
So you need to get there is a rose spray specifically for black spot on roses because it's a different fungus. You need, you can't spray at the moment because it's raining. So you're going to have to wait for it to clear up, and as long as you've got 6 hours of dry, it's a systemic one and it gets into the leaf. Because once you've got black spot, you can't use the milk and water or the potassium permanganate or none of those will work.
I use the black spot spray like religiously on this one because every year this happens.
Okay.
People come up and smell the beautiful flower and then they recoil because it's riddled with it.
Yeah.
No matter how much I spray.
Okay, so change your tack. Now, the thing is with roses, a lot of the roses have been bred to be disease resistant and some roses just keep getting black spot.
Okay.
You can't do anything about it. It just means that breed of rose is really susceptible. So try different things. So try the potassium permanganate.
Okay.
Which is Condy's crystals. And you mix up half a teaspoon in 1 litre of water. Now, your yellow roses may go a bit purple, but it'll be quite an interesting variation on colour.
Okay.
So you just need to mix things up a bit.
Okay.
And then you could, there's Trichoderma, which is a good fungus that will protect your roses. Can be a little bit tricky to get hold of. You may need to get it online. Trichoderma.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that's two options. That's great.
Okay. Thanks,
Good
Trish.
Good luck with so that, much. Trish. Thank you. Bo is in Dundarrigan. Hello, Bo. Whoop, there he is. Hello, Bo.
Hello, Bo.
Hi.
What's your problem?
We have a tree that's green and looks like lime, but it's sweet.
Okay.
And it's about 15 years old.
15, did you say, Bo?
Yeah, 15.
Is it older than you or younger than you?
Older.
Oh, it's older than you. How old are you, Bo?
9.
Ah, what a champion age. At 9, Bo, you can conquer the world. Did you know that?
No.
You wait till you're nearly 10 and it, you know, so much good stuff happens. All right, Bo. So what happened? Your tree is 15 years old, so it's got a fruit that looks like a lime, but it tastes more like an orange, or does it taste more like a lemon?
It just tastes sweet.
Okay. So there is a lime called the Tahitian lime, and the Tahitian lime isn't sour. It's quite sweet. Or it may be that it's actually a lemonade lemon, which is sweet, but it's a small lemon that looks more like a lime. Or the other thing is, Bo, you know when you have grandparents and someone will say to you, you just look so much like your grandfather when you did that. So trees have grandparents, and sometimes the behavior of the tree that was a lime but now is sweet picks up the habits of its grandmother or grandfather and shows those traits, and it will become more and more each year like its grandmother or grandfather than before. So basically what you're looking at is the gene pool of a family of limes that is made up of lemons and oranges and all sorts of different things. Like, you're made up of all the gene pool of your mum and dad and grandma and grandpa. So it's so sometimes plants turn back into their grandma and grandpa.
Whoa.
pretty mind-blowing, isn't it, Bo?
My mind is blown, Bo. So obviously Grandma and Grandpa were a couple of big sweeties, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like you, Bo. I reckon you're probably a big sweetie.
You got
Mum or Dad there with you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Do you think your Mum or Dad understood any of that?
Yeah.
Good on you, Dad.
So basically it's either cross-pollinated or it's reverting back to what it's been grafted on or bred from. But anyway, sweet limes are fantastic because they go very nice in a sparkling water that sometimes has other
Moscow Mule. Bo, thank you for calling in.
Thanks,
and Bo's
Bo.
Dad, thanks for manning the phones for us.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you, Bo.
What a guy. Now, Sue is in Albany. We do have a couple of lines free, 1-300-222-720, if you would like to take the time to call Miss Sabrina. Susanna. Maria.
Oh, Sabrina. You know, it was unfortunate. My parents didn't think about my name very much because – you know, I have German. My grandfather was German, and they called me Sabrina Sue Hahn, which is a very German name. So, of course, I just got SS, the SS Hahn, when I was a kid at school. Now, my father, I would have thought about that, but clearly not. So, anyway, the old SS Hahn Bismarck used to just plow through all the bullies at school.
She is from the Secret Service. Sue, what's your question for this German
Fräulein? The Fräulein. Fräulein Bogwitch.
Okay, I've got some self-propagated Sunshine Special passion fruit.
Yep.
And they're only babies.
Yeah.
But something is nibbling the top of the new shoots because they're only about, like, a foot high.
Yeah.
And I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to have a look what was nibbling, and I couldn't find anything, but it shredded the top new leaves.
Ooh.
I know.
So shredding, if they're like chewy, shreddy, that's either weevils, there's really tiny little beetles around at the moment that are shreddy. So beetles or weevils. Now, put a little saucer out with soya sauce and water. You don't need to add chili or ginger, just soya sauce and water, and put it in the ground and just see what you capture, Sue. I would get out with the neem oil-based spray. Mm-hmm. So just as a protection. But I reckon it's beetles or could be weevils.
Little buggers. Okay, yeah, they are. So much.
And they don't even taste nice.
20 points to you for getting up at 3 to see what it is.
I love it when gardeners do that. I love it when gardeners do that.
You were very determined, Sue. Oh, thank you for calling.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye. Brad in Vass has trichoderma for treating black spot. Please pass this message on to Trish in Busselton. Oh, okay.
Cool. We will.
What's trichoderma?
So it's a fungus. It's a microscopic fungi and it eats other fungi.
Okay. And now we have not even a humble brag, just a lovely brag.
Oh.
Hi, girls. Our new gardener daughter who said 2 or 3 years ago, I'm so crap at gardening, but I'm going to give it a go. I did well with her roses at the Beverly Show yesterday. Oh. So good to see new gardeners thriving. Thanks for your awesome program. They are lovely roses.
They're stunning roses. Look at them. Oh, wow. Anyone can be a gardener.
Yeah.
Not anyone can be a bog witch, though, because that takes years.
Yes, it does.
Yep. The witchery involved, you can't just get it, you know.
You've got to lie in a bog in your gundas for a while.
Yeah, and you've got to learn how to what things you can do with your bog as well. Like that's right. We do lots of things with our bog. We share the bog.
Share the bog, yes. We do share the bog.
We add stuff to it, take stuff out.
Yeah.
Mix different things in.
Invite friends over.
Yep, absolutely. That's the best part about being a bog witch.
It is. Maureen is in North Lake and is definitely a bog witch, I can tell. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
See, she's even got the cackle of a bog witch. Oh, welcome, Maureen.
Oh, my gosh. We've got this beautiful indoor ficus tree. Yeah. I've had it for years.
Yeah.
But it gets this stickiness on the leaves every now and then, and we have to take it outside.
Yes.
Now, we hose it normally, but it takes a long time to get rid of it. I'm just wondering if there's something we can spray it with.
There most definitely is, Maureen. And the reason it gets sticky is because there's a very tiny sap-sucking insect, and it sucks all the sap and then it goes like that. And it sort of piddles it out, really.
Oh.
Throws it out. And that's what the sticky stuff you can feel. So you can spray with a botanical oil or a neem-based oil. And then after you've done that, 5 days after you've sprayed with the oil, you're going to get out with the hose and hose all that off. And then you're going to spray it a second time 2 weeks after the first spray. Ah. And then 5 days after the second spray, you're going to hose it down with the hose. Yep. And then you bring it inside.
Oh, thank you so much, Sabrina. And I love your show.
Oh.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Oh.
You're amazing the way you get on with each other. It's brilliant.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Maureen.
You can be a bog witch with us.
Absolutely.
This is lovely. Thanks, Maureen. Robin says, hi, gals. Shout out to the residents at the units at Wolseley Street, East Frio, who are working together to weed and mulch the garden. That is the good use of your Saturday morning. Savvy.
Yes.
Boots and shoot. Boots. I don't know. What's it called? Boots and roots or something?
No, boots and utes. Boots and utes.
If you see a moth on the wall of your kitchen, do you smack it?
No.
Do you extend that level of courtesy to insects you see in or near the garden?
Yeah, I don't kill anything.
I know it's a reflex, but my next guest wants you to stop it. In today's Boots and Utes, Christina spoke to horticulturalist Kiara Hall from Xantharia Nursery in Maida Vale, who fell in love with plants the way most of us do.
I found a cutting underneath my ex's car seat. I put it in water. It just watching this little thing grow roots after being in the car for about a week in Perth summer was amazing, and it just funneled from houseplants to cacti to natives, especially because I love being outside. I've always been in the bush.
Now, you have a great topic for us today. Tell me about it.
Well, Christine, I have a secret mission. I would like to see more invertebrates in people's gardens. And I know they're there, and I know that we chastise the aphid and, you know, don't know what on earth a little young caterpillar or ladybug larva looks like, but I think we need to be friendlier to them, and I think local plants are the way to do that.
Okay, who are the invertebrates firstly?
Well, for me, I'm especially focused on the weirdos. I always love an underdog, so I especially love caterpillars. And I think a lot of the time people want butterflies in their gardens but don't necessarily like to have caterpillars. And I'm susceptible to that. I was looking at my lovely little verticordia in the garden yesterday, Verticordia micheliana. My favourite because it smells like musk lilies.
And it's red and it's got a big long thingo.
Absolutely. A lovely, I believe it's a stamen, but it's been a while since I've studied. But I was looking at it and I had these kind of clusters of webbing caterpillar on the tips, and I started to prick it out and squeeze it. I was like, no, this is what I want. It's probably a local. So I think knowing what it is and the unknown is quite daunting to people, and I completely understand. There's always ebbs and flow in nature, and we can't separate our garden from nature. It is nature.
What was it?
So I believe it's a webbing caterpillar. They can be quite small, and I do need to look more into if we get multiple different species, but they will cluster together a lot of Myrtaceae kind of tips and Adenanthus as well, so also Proteaceae a lot of the time, so fuzzy, kind of humid places in the garden where they're not going to get pecked out very easily by birds and similar.
So the Albany woolly bush, all the proteas, some of the Banksias that have got the fairy leaves.
Absolutely, so it's all about that protection. So in the nursery environment, we do tend to prune these out. Some people will treat it. I do try to be on the gentler end, and I think that's a lot of what my co-workers will do as well. In the garden, some amount of ugliness from invertebrates is welcome for myself.
So which pests can stay?
It's so tricky to know. So I think the first thing is to observe. And I like to get on my head torch in the evenings and poke around, see what you can see. I think a lot of gardening and being better at it or improving or learning is observation. Don't go straight away to killing it. You know, you can always bring a sample to lots of your local nurseries. And we get a lot of eucalypt pests, a lot of lerps and similar, but they're often predated by wattle birds, as far as I know. Lots of, I have a lot of jitty jitty in my garden too, willy wagtails. And I found, and I had so many insects and insectivorous birds coming to my garden, I believe because of the diversity I'd put in, I'd started putting in a range of plants. So observe, see what's happening. You don't always know if it's being hunted, and wait to tell if there are levels of infestation. Heavy infestation levels, definitely. I like to approach it. I do try to have a spray-free garden, and I'll prune things out, but it's all about levels, checks and balances. You know, time can change things.
That was horticulturalist Kiara Hall, who just wants you to let them live. Don't kill invertebrates, she says. Sabrina Hahn. Just quickly, we will have Hal in Hammersley. Hello, Hal. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning, ladies. About 2 months ago, Sabrina, you had on your show, the gardening show, a caller from Geraldton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had a passion fruit which was apparently a heritage type passion fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
No. I tell you what. Mate, I sometimes I can't remember what happened last week, let alone. But I do know that there are lots of heritage passion fruits, and I can't remember what the call was. But could you grow it from a cutting? Yes, you most definitely can. Would you be able to grow that from the seed, from the fruit, and would it be the same? Probably would be the same. So growing it from a cutting, growing it from a seed, you should actually get that heritage passion
fruit. Where can I get it? Can you get it in Perth or
no?
Is there any?
No.
Okay. So
not that I know of. You will have to go online and look at. Oh, actually, there is a nursery in Perth, so I would check the fruit nursery up in the hills in Perth. He does lots of heritage fruit and veggies, so he's going to be your best bet. And to give you a hint, it's like Tasmania number one, but it's not Tasmania, but similar to.
And also another pointer, if you remember the date of the show, you can go back and listen to the show on the ABC Listen app. So if, yeah, that's asking you to remember something a long time ago.
Anyway, thank you very much. But you call it the fruit nursery in where?
Yeah, up in the hills, in the wine region.
Thanks, Hal. This has been Saturday, the 25th of October's edition of Roots and Shoots with her.
And she.
Yeah, Sabrina Hahn and Amber Cunningham. A couple of bog witches, a couple of proud, quite smelly bog witches.
Proud, smelly bog witches. That's what happens
when you live in a bog. It is 10 o'clock. Thanks for having us. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.